Well, this is Michael Allen Cooper, and you've tuned in to the House of Amazing Grace. It's not by chance, it's by design. So bear with me, and let's see what we can explore.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Well, it's been another week, and I miss you. I hope you miss me. And my daddy used to say all the time, well, I'm glad you got to see me. But I tell people, I'm glad you got to see Jesus in me. Because I'm nothing, but Jesus in me. Now that's something. Anyway, welcome today. Of course, you know, it's the House of the Rising, House of the Amazing Grace, not Rising Sun. But the sun, you know, S-O-N, is rising. I've been reading a little bit and thinking about some stuff. Back in Isaiah, which, did you know that basically Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, is kind of rejected by the Jews because it talks so much about how the Messiah will be coming and so much about him. And it all lines up and depicts Jesus to a T. It's amazing. For instance, in Isaiah 42, it's amazing because, you know, the Lord God back, way back, said he'll be sending his servant who's upright and his elect, and he'll be holding his hand, and I've put my spirit in him, and he will bring judgment forth even to the Gentiles. And, you know, he won't cry, and he won't cause his voice to be the main thing. Jesus didn't do things for himself. He did what the Father told him to do. And he even said that many times, as I don't seek anything for me. I do what the Father tells me to do, and I say what the Father tells me to say. Anyway, the servant who is Jesus came to glorify the Lord God Almighty. Well, listen to this now in verse 5 here. I just want to share a couple little scriptures here. And he said, thus says the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which comes out of it, he that gives breath unto the people and spirit to them that walk therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. Now he's talking about Jesus. I have called you in righteousness and will hold thy hand. And I will keep you and give you a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. A covenant for the people of Israel and a light for the Gentiles. To open the eyes of the blind, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison houses. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. You know, we got to be careful there, folks. These graven images, they sound like something way in the past, but they're still around. I see them everywhere I look. You know, people kind of worship this stuff. And it's really, really sad. Anyway, the former things are come to pass, and the new things do I declare. And this is way before Jesus was ever born. But before they spring forth, and I will tell you. So sing to the Lord a new song. Well, that goes on and on and on. But you should read the book, the whole book of Isaiah. It is amazing how much stuff it talks about Jesus. And then he predicts this too here back in Psalms. He predicts here, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and we have known and our fathers have told us. I mean, because all this was said way before Jesus ever said it. It's in the Old Testament. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength, his wonderful works that he has done. Now, he's done some wonderful works. We should all remind ourselves and each other every day of all the things that the Lord has done over the years. It's actually truly amazing. Now, when Jesus came on the scene back in a couple thousand years ago, he started preaching, and he would say, repent, the time is fulfilled. and the kingdom of God is at hand. So repent and believe the gospel. The gospel was already here. It was already in print. They had the Pentateuch, and they had the book of Isaiah. And, you know, they had several books. They had the book of Job. They had the Psalms. And, you know, they had a lot of stuff to read. So watch and pray. Pray and watch. So, and then he flats asks you, what manner of man are you? And what manner of man was Jesus? Who is that? Who is that man? You know? He wants you to realize that there's more to it than what you have been taught. The church, our parents, everybody really has failed. We've all failed. We don't teach our kids the things that they really need to know and really have to get a hold of. We don't teach them that. You know, we teach them how to drive. We teach them how to do personal hygiene. We teach them how to dress themselves. We teach them how to do certain things. I taught my boys all how to build houses and carpentry and drywall, and they still do that kind of stuff, you know. That's what I did, so I taught them that. But I wanted to make sure they got a hold of the Lord in their lives, and they all do. They all know the Lord. And it's not like in a scary way for them. It's a pleasant, friendly, brotherly way. And we should be brothers with the Lord. He called us friends. He called us brothers. The Lord wants us there with him forever to help him recreate and to continue to create the entire universe forever. That's his goal. His goal is to have, you know, humans doing that with him. And you're part of that elect if you're listening to this and you have any kind of hope in the Lord, then you're part of that. If you're not, it's easy enough to be involved. It's sort of like the housing market. If you don't have a house, it's hard to be in the housing market. But if you have a house, it doesn't matter if it's just an old shack or whatever. Like my old buddy Milt told me all the time, it doesn't matter where you're at in the housing market, but you need to be in the housing market in order to grow your money and your assets. Because real estate gets more and more valuable. You know, it grows. It's an asset. It doesn't depreciate. It appreciates. And it's the same with our gospel knowledge. The thing inside of us that is a salvation, and it is a life-giving, eternal thing, it grows. It's an asset. It takes us to an infinite amount eventually, and we can't contain it. We can't really stop it, and that's good because we don't want to stop it. The Lord God wants controlled growth that's steady, that's real, not helter-skelter, do what you want, you know. There'll never be anybody in heaven that is performing evil. In fact, in Mark, it tells us, Mark 9:49, everyone shall be salted with fire. And every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. Just so that you kind of get a grip on that, you think about that. We all are going to walk through, literally walk through fire. All things will be tested. And whatsoever things comes out on the other side of that, those are the good things. All the other bad things and the things that the Lord don't want in his eternal kingdom will be burnt away. It's sort of like I found a whole bunch of gold ore chunks one time in Colorado. And I always thought, well, you know, I'm going to make me a vat and I'm going to melt this down and and I'm going to gather the ore, the gold out of that ore. Well, I never did. I wound up just leaving all those rocks. To other people, they were just rocks, but it was gold ore. Anyway, I never did melt that down and get the gold out of it, you know. But the Lord's going to melt us down and get the gold out of us. It's a symbolic thing. But that's what's going to happen, you know. He's gonna literally test us in the fire. So, you know, there's a time and a place for everything. I love that song, Turn, Turn, Turn. That's actually a quote by Solomon. There's a time and a place for everything under the sun. And I wish I could just find that really quickly. But now Solomon, I wanted to kind of get touch on him a little bit too. He became the king of Israel because his father David was the king, and so the Lord asked him, "Well, what do you want, you know, from me?" And he said, "I want wisdom to be able to rule your people in a fair and just way, because without your wisdom, it wouldn't even be fair to try to rule people, you know." And so Solomon wrote a book, and it's called the Song of the Book of Proverbs. The very first thing he writes: to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Because, you know, sometimes I've run across this here just lately. There's little blurbs on posts, people's posts, and it'll say three or four little things. And one or two of them are true and good, but the other two are kind of dark and deceptive and could be having other meanings, and in fact do have other meanings. And so they try to drag people in and lure them in through a seductive, "Isn't this sounding pleasant and wonderful?" Sometimes things sound pleasant and wonderful, and the end result is death and destruction. Man's wisdom is so limited. Now, it goes on. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So don't be a fool. Don't be foolish. You know, if you despise that kind of wisdom and that kind of instruction, you're despising the very things that the Lord is trying to give to you. Hello? Why would you despise the very thing that can help you live forever and understand all things forever? It's really our only hope. There's no other way. There's no other wisdom somewhere. It's like I told that one friend of mine. He asked me, "Well, what's wrong with that?" And I said, "Well, it's the same thing as listening to the sound of the one-handed clap. So you run your hand through the air and stop it really quick, and you're supposed to hear the sound of the one-handed clap." Hello, how foolish! That's kid stuff. That's little childish stuff. It gives them food for thought. And it's great to have food for thought, but don't get caught up in that mystical one-way stuff. There's one way. The Lord is the way. He is the only way. There's no other way. There's no other name given under heaven whereby which we can be saved. No other entity can save us. I don't care how much you think they try. Now, I was talking about wisdom there for a minute, and listen to what Solomon goes on to say. "My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head, and chains about your neck. If as sinners entice you, consent not. If they say, come to us, and let us lay wait, and let us lurk privately for the innocent. You know, come on, don't do it. Don't do it. I really feel like our politicians have done this now. That's what they're doing. They're laying wait. And they've laid a really well-laid plan that was devised by Satan himself on how to skim all the money, make sure they usurp all the power, and keep us at bay, working and providing them their billions and billions, so they can divvy it out and get each of them get millions and millions. You know, you get a job as a senator, and 10 years later, you're not just getting that 200 and some thousand a year, you're getting millions. How is that working? Well, it's cheating. That's how. It's cheating, lying, stealing, you know. So it's really pretty sad when you think about it. The people will sell their soul for money.
Out there somewhere is a city. I'm gonna make it my home. Don't you know it's a pity some people won't be living in the city, in the city, in the city, unlike any other place we've been. We must have Jesus as a friend. Oh, what a marvelous city. Oh, what a wonderful city. The gates are open in the city all day long, and there's no night. The glory of my Lord gives all the heat and the light. The city, in the city, it's a city. It's not like New York or LA. The streets are paved with gold, they say. Oh, what a wonderful city. Oh, what a heavenly city. Well, what a time it has been in this world that we live in. What a time it will be in that world that we'll soon see. The city, it's a city, God's city, in the city, the city, in the city, in the city.
So, look in chapter 2, it says, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that you will incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you will seek her as silver and gold and search for her as hidden treasure, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord, and you will find the knowledge of God. There's a key right there, isn't there? You're seeking wisdom and understanding. All of a sudden, then you will find the fear of the Lord, and you'll find the knowledge of God. God has all knowledge. Nothing is not known to him. He knows everything. The Lord gives wisdom, it says in verse 6. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous, you know? And he keeps the paths of judgment and preserves your way. He's on the ball. The Lord isn't just up there taking a nap in his throne with his head nodding off. He pays attention. He don't have to sleep. He never gets weary and tired. He's excitedly wanting you to give your life to him so that he can help you and instruct you and mold you and shape you into the most wonderful you that you can ever be. I have a new song that says, if you'll seek him while you are you, you know, this is right now while you're you, if you seek the Lord, he'll make you better. He'll make you more wise, more understanding. He'll give you knowledge that you never thought you ever could ever have or that you ever thought you might want. The kind of knowledge that you really want but didn't know it. It's like going to school, you know, oh man, I don't want to go to school. But then after you did, you realize, you know, I learned a lot of good things in there, you know. I can do math. I can figure out triangles. I can figure out areas and circumference. I can figure out cubic volumes. I can figure out the rise and run of stairs or a roof. I didn't even know I was going to need all that. But I do. I use it all the time. So anyway, I just want to encourage you today to seek him and seek wisdom and seek his type of knowledge. When you read through the Bible, don't just read it as some old ancient story. There's tidbits of wisdom in here and in that book from the ancients that we don't know about. And the enemy don't want you to know about it. He wants you to be sealed off away from that. You know, the thing is around the world right now is if you're a Bible thumper or a Jesus freak, you're weird. And it's just not true. You know, that's the thing to be. Be a Bible thumper. But do it in a way that is attractive. You know, I've ran into a few nerdy Bible thumpers that really just even put me off, man. It's like, I sure wouldn't want to be like that, you know. But I've ran into guys that had the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God and the Spirit of God about them and an aura that caused them to just glow. And then I realized they're for real. And that's what I want. That's what I want. I want the reality. I want the reality of God. Because he's more real than anything I can see. Anything around me, anything I can think, he is reality. He's the only reality. And so then we kind of learn to obey that reality. And we not only learn to, but we learn to love it. We learn to like it. We're glad we did it. We actually benefit in a billion ways that we didn't even know existed. So don't be conformed to this world, you know? Just don't do it. Turn the TV off. Turn off all that junk music you're listening to that can lead you into who knows where. Turn all that off. Just let the Lord give you a song. I just wrote another song the other day. It says, you know, I sing my song to the Lord. And he sings it back to me. And we can be free. You know, we're free. We can be free in him. No longer burdened by the world's cares. No longer burdened by drugs or alcohol or the mind that binds us. The mind can be a terrible thing because it just, it's relentless. You know, God created our mind sort of like his own. And he risked it all by giving us free choice and such a expansive ability to know and learn. He risked everything. He put it all out there. And when you realize how much he risked, and you think, wow, just for me? That's amazing love there, you know? That's really amazing love. Amazing, graceful mercy. Hallelujah. Well, thank you for listening today, and God be with you. Enjoy some songs, and enjoy your day. Enjoy your night. Reach out to him, and he'll reach out to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.